Yeah, everything was going so well until President Trump went to Russia. So in podcast 739, Trump's Russian reset, we're going to talk a little bit about the fallout from the Trump face-to-face meeting with Putin and the media reaction, but there are some important questions for the average person, the voter, the forgotten man, so we're going to get into it in podcast 739. Well, we're into the good part of summer. This just goes on and on and on, at least until state fair time, when it will start to cool down. And I am not going to tell you to remember, Ryan, for checking your heating systems, because we don't want to even think about that yet. But, you know, you might still have some problems with your air conditioning. And you might still have some problems with some plumbing issues left over from winter. And you might have problems in your business with systems. If this is you, and it is usually almost everyone, remember Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. Because when it comes to keeping all of these systems operating, you've got digital water heaters, you've got digitally controlled thermostats, you've got air conditioning systems, which are new and not easily figured out. All kinds of bad things can happen to your air conditioning if you try to fix it yourself. I could tell you some stories, air conditioners lighting on fire, compressors blowing up. You don't want to mess with that yourself. So if you got an issue, call Ryan Plumbing and Heating for reliable service in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. They go back four generations in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems by people who know what they are doing. Landlords, call a plumber. Call a plumber. How many times do I have to say that to landlords? And if they do come out, ask these guys about improvements. I know a lot of people are thinking about putting in new bathrooms or putting in floor heating into the basement or garage. It's certainly expensive, but it does pay for itself over time. Call Ryan and ask him to check that stuff out when they are checking out the other stuff. In St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Four generations of experience in Frogtown in St. Paul. Quality replacement and repair of all plumbing, heating, and air conditioning systems. And you can also check them out online. Their website has a lot of great content at ryanplumbing.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Well, there are developments in the podcast world. Google is going to be coming out with a podcast app very soon. Now, I'm on Google Play, but I will be telling you about the Google app, and here's why it's important. So there's a lot of Android devices out there. Now, if you do have an Android device, you can use Stitcher.com, TuneIn. A lot of times people with Android devices struggle with iTunes, but if you have an iPhone or an iPad, or you're watching on a Mac or listening on a Mac, iTunes is great. I mentioned TuneIn, Google Play, BlogTalkRadio.com, Spreaker.com, Stitcher, and others. Appreciate the likes and the shares and favoriting and following on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I appreciate your donations for mobile podcast command at thebobdavispodcast.com. We're going to be heading out hopefully this weekend. I want to talk to some farmers, and I'll tell you more about that in the future. So I need money for diesel. And I appreciate all you guys donating to mobile podcast command over the last few years. Yeah, I realize the numbers are a little screwed up. So I skipped a number. I skipped 739, so I have to go back and get it. So podcast 739 is actually being done after podcast 740 if you listen to this in two or three years or something. So that explains that. So I cannot add to what has been said about this Trump-Russian thing. I do not envy, and I've said this many times, those who have to be on the air during a breaking news story like this one. And I have been watching this the last three or four days, visitors in town and everything else, and checking things out on YouTube and reading articles. When a president as unpredictable as this one says or does something so unexpected, I don't think anybody really knows where to begin or what to say. Now, as you know, my template is that I refuse to take his side. I refuse to take the other side, whatever the other side is. He's certainly capable of defending himself and I'm not going to get in the middle of this accusatory media, attack media thing, or get into this thing where I have to tell you what you're supposed to believe, because it's just nonsense. Because what we have now is a firestorm of criticism, support, and commentary, fighting politicos on every channel, podcast, blog, editorials, and commentary pieces all over the place, raining down from the heavens, that are back to the paradigm for covering the president during the election season and covering Donald Trump throughout his life. Trump says or does something, there's an immediate highly negative reaction. Words like unprecedented are used. Words like embarrassing are used. Then officials are rumored to be quitting. When they don't quit, then calls for resignation appear. Well, you have to resign because of this. No, I don't. But that doesn't stop people. As though that's the worst thing anyone can say. They're going to have to resign. This aggression shall not stand. First thing that happens after that initial rush is that the White House or Congress or the governor's office or whoever who is the target of all this nonsense will push back in some form or another. And then you get a whole passel of commentators rushing to judgment, proving why this is the most egregious, disruptive, the worst, the most unpredictable, the most dangerous thing that's ever been done by any president or perhaps world leader in the history, going back to Genghis Khan. You know, it's just beyond belief. And then you have the same number of commentators and luminaries and former government officials, magpies, really, on the wire talking about why he's a brilliant president. That's not what he said. Trump's actually a genius. He wasn't answering that question. He didn't mean that. Trump's playing four-dimensional chess or whatever. They didn't ask him this question, and so on and so on. And then you finally get the academics and the smarty pants guys writing 14 or 15-page articles about how Warren Harding handled things or how Abe Lincoln handled things, and it just turns into something that you can't follow anymore, because how do I know what Abe Lincoln did? You know, I'd have to look it up. And the other thing that really bugs me is at this point, everybody acts like some kind of a genius. Anderson Cooper is suddenly an authority on presidential conduct. Sean Hannity is suddenly a foreign policy expert. James Clapper, Donna Brazile, Newt Gingrich, and so on, all chirping away down the line, all telling you what they think you should believe. And I refuse to do that. I'm not going to do a podcast telling you why Trump is a genius or that he's a dunce or worse, or because you know, he's playing four-dimensional, three-dimensional chess or whatever that paradigm that they use is, because the truth is it doesn't matter what I think. What's important here amid all this noise is that very little of this information is usable and very little of it will be remembered 3 or 4 years from now, let alone 10 years from now. So what you have is a situation where, at worst, the president basically used a meeting with the president of Russia, who has been alleged to have meddled in the U.S. election. The president basically used an opportunity, which he knew would be covered, to stick his finger in the eye of the Justice Department investigators, whom he hates, by the way, whom he feels have torn down his presidency or keep trying to tear down his presidency, and basically state his belief, which is something that he has stated on many occasions, that he doesn't think there was any real significant Russian disruption of the 2016 election. I think he looks askance at that quote-unquote theory. Moreover, there was no quote-unquote collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russians. And he doesn't like the investigations. He doesn't like the people in the Justice Department. And he stuck his finger also in the eye of the so-called intelligence community by comparing Putin's word to the word of the intelligence community. And he also poked his finger in the eye of the media, whom he knew would be shocked to hear him say something like this. At best, Trump did what he does best, which is talking off the cuff, and he committed the venal sin of a gaffe, a very serious gaffe nonetheless for a president, but a gaffe. And I'll talk a little bit about why maybe he did that shortly, but that is it. There were no agreements signed in Helsinki. The two leaders did not sign a communique. There were no commensurate arms reduction agreements. There were no trade agreements. There was nothing specific out of the meetings other than nobody walked out in anger. Troops, aren't being gathered at the border to attack. Aircraft are not flying en masse into the United States to bomb us. Missiles aren't in the air. Two leaders met and talked and seemed to have a fairly good time. So the first thing is everybody needs to relax. Is Trump his lapdog? Is Trump bought and paid for? Is Trump this? I don't know. And you don't know either. We all have our opinions. We all have little snippets of evidence, but we really don't know. So I just think everybody needs to take a step back in the first place. And now I'm going to say something that needs to be said, because I think this is something that we really need to start. I mean, we've been talking and talking about this, but I am really shocked when I watch these press conferences, the hysterical and often wholly mistaken reaction of the media, both on the scene and people in studios in New York and Atlanta and wherever, and Washington, to whatever this president does. And it has become a cartoon of a cartoon. You know that show, our cartoon president? You could actually put a cartoon out of our cartoon of a cartoon media, our cartoon of a cartoon president, our cartoon of a cartoon government. It is absurd. Kafkaesque, in the words of the great Jesse Pinkman. I don't think it serves anybody to rush to judgment in cases like these. Now, I have certainly rushed to judgment before, and it is almost always a mistake, because there's almost always some information that comes out that you hope no one remembers that you said the following, whatever that is. Most importantly, I really don't care about this. I don't care what happens. I don't care what he did or didn't do. I don't care why he did it. Because the truth is, the real truth is, there is nothing any of us can do about it right now. Yes, by all means, work in a congressional campaign, hand out literature, man the phones at the local campaign headquarters, put a bumper sticker on your car, vote in the primaries and in the election in November. Those are all good things to do. And if you want, go out and protest for or against whatever you want. And in January, when a new Congress is sworn in, we will see where the debris fall and what the makeup is of Congress. And then when they start legislating, we will see how things are going to go down. But that's about it. Between now and then, there really isn't much to be done unless you want to work in a campaign or hand out literature or whatever it is that you want to do. People are not going to take to the streets in the millions because Donald Trump upset the Mueller apple cart. People are not going to go into the streets en masse because the president, quote-unquote, robbed Mueller of his big moment indicting 12 Russian spies or whatever. They are not going to take to the streets because Anderson Cooper, who is all of 50, has never witnessed anything like this before in his life, watching the press conference on a monitor from Helsinki at the desk in New York or Washington. They are not going to take to the streets because James Clapper or Donna Brazile are appalled. And quick, by the way, who are James Clapper and Donna Brazile? And what did they do to earn their position behind the camera? Quick, tell me. I'll leave a little space of dead air and hopefully I'll get it psychically. Don't Google it. Just tell me. Because the truth is, most people have no idea who they are. And, maybe we should take to the streets. I'm not going to certainly take that off the table. But the truth is, this is the least of my concerns right now. And I will tell you why shortly. Well, I've been telling you guys a lot about ReliaFund. This is a payment processor that has been in business for 20 years. They have no long-term contracts. They're secure. They're technology-focused. If you're a small businessman, a medium-sized businessman, or a big businessman or woman, you know that payment processing is extremely important because people want to pay electronically today, and it isn't easy to get a payment processor that can pull all that together. ReliaFund can do it. ReliaFund, ReliaFund.com. You can click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com and learn more about the company. It will take you to their contact page. If you're a small business, I urge you, go to that contact page, type in your info, and Kevin Hill or Greg Lowry will get back to you, and maybe they can help you with your payment processor. How much do you pay for credit card you know, processing? How much do you pay for check processing? Do you do check processing? These are all important questions. If you are a developer and you are building business stuff for a small, medium, or large business, you can incorporate Reliant Fund services into the payment systems. And if you are, you know, a small business and you're doing an e-commerce site, if you develop e-commerce sites, same thing. Reliant Fund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D, no long-term contracts, secure, technology-focused. Here's the number, 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040, 866-243-5040, just like those old talk radio ads, 866-243-5040, that's 866-243-5040, just kidding. Reliant Fund, R-E-L-I-A-F-U-N-D.com, or click on the banner at the top of the page at thebobdavispodcast.com. Also at the end of the blog on the page at thebobdavispodcast.com is a link to Reliant Fund, and you can click on that too, and it'll just open up in another window if you do. Same with the banners, by the way. Also want to mention Alpha Systems. No, I am not going to the air show this year, and I feel bad. I just can't. I have too much business stuff going on here, and I'm going to be, you know, taking another turn here pretty soon to, you know, get on some of this agriculture stuff. So I'm going to do that this week instead of going to the air show. But if you are a pilot and you're flying into EAA, you know how crazy it can get. You know how dangerous that base turn can be before you land. And you know why you need an angle of attack indicator. Alpha Systems makes the revolutionary angle of attack indicator. The bottom line is Alpha Systems AOA saves lives. Every plane should have one in the cockpit. If you are going, check out Alpha Systems in, I think, building... I want to say it's Building C at EAA. Look for Mark Korn doing his thing. He is amazing. Yes, pilots have been saved by Alpha Systems AOA. And if you go to the show and talk to Mark Korn and you're a pilot, you're going to want to get these in your plane. So here's the real deal as far as I'm concerned. Before the election and during the election, I asked people, admittedly, they were on the right side of the political spectrum at the time, but I asked people consistently, and I also asked it in this podcast of people on both ends of the so-called right-left political spectrum, which isn't a real thing, but okay. I asked people what the foreign policy of the United States should be, and you can find that podcast by just simply looking up foreign policy, and you'll get 25 podcasts that I've done about foreign policy, up to and including the ones where I used to tell people what they're supposed to think, and I don't do that anymore because I've learned not to, because it doesn't matter. You can talk to your blue in the face or red in the face, and no one is going to listen. They're just going to end up doing what they want to do anyway, or thinking what they want to think anyway. I asked in a lot of podcasts what the economic policy of the United States should be, and to a lesser extent, I ask what the so-called domestic policy of the United States should be. Now, I've covered enough, you know, live political events and been involved in politics enough over the years and covered politics enough over the years to tell you that most of the people in, you know, the political structure cannot answer any of those questions. Even the politicos don't have any idea what the you know, economic policy of the United States should be, or what the foreign policy of the United States should be, beyond some rhetorical phrase that sounds good. They don't have the granular knowledge of any of those issues to actually argue those issues out. I know, because I've argued them with people. I've sat with people and had coffee and gone down to the blocks to figure out what they know, and most of the time it isn't much. Nobody wanted to talk about these things because the word policy was in those statements, and nobody wants to talk about actual policy. People on the right just wanted somebody to be a president who could throw the rhetoric of the left back in their face. And now they have one, and he's doing it. And my sense is that the right in general loves the president. He has very high positives among Republicans, actually higher, some of the highest that have ever been recorded. Oh, yeah, you know, the left, quote unquote, left hates the president just as much, but he doesn't care, and Republicans don't care either. They are delighted by his ability to stick his finger in their eye and pull on their tongue and slap their head. Back when I was talking about this stuff, nobody wanted to do any heavy lifting intellectually when it came to NATO, when it came to defense or economic policy. policy. They just wanted whatever the Republican leadership said they wanted, or whatever Trump said they were all for. And yet, the post-World War II structures are breaking down, whether Trump is speeding up the process or not, whether he knows what he's doing or not, whether the things he is doing are going to work or will be disastrous, whether he is doing most of it with executive orders, by the way, and not Congress, so most of what he's doing can be reversed, similar to the things that President Obama did that will be reversed. That's what comes from I have a pen and a phone instead of working with legislatures. And Trump isn't the only modern president who has basically given up on Congress. And as I said, I can talk till I'm blue or red in the face. But what people want to talk about is how those damn Europeans aren't paying their fair share for NATO, or why everyone is yelling at the president because he agreed with Putin on something. So on that whole issue, and on the whole issue of Russian interference, and on the whole issue of whether Trump accepted help from them or anything else, first, I'll believe it when I see it, because I haven't seen it and it hasn't been proven, no matter what anybody says. And here's where I get to that. Because this is really, really important, because the media seems to be very confused about things like due process. Here are a couple of facts for people on the left side of the spectrum, let's say, or people deeply concerned about Russia this or Russia that, or whether Trump will be impeached and so forth. By the way, all entirely possible. I'm not saying that it won't be or he can't be or anything else. I'm simply saying that this is something that people who are convinced that they can predict the future, or who are convinced without seeing all the evidence that they know this and they know that. They know Hillary Clinton's a murderer. They know that, this, that, and the other thing. They know that this happened, and they know that that happened because somebody said so. But they don't actually have the evidence. But anyway, let me just get this out. Evidence is something that is given in court to prove someone's guilt, okay? Evidence the president knew about whatever alleged Russian involvement occurred, encouraged it, led it, or covered it up after the fact, or all of the above are the things that are something that he can be impeached for. Not making a mistake and misspeaking, or misspeaking on purpose to pimp the Justice Department at a press conference, which is entirely within the purview of the executive branch. You can't be impeached for speaking your mind as president at a press conference. Come on. But anyway, I keep hearing people say that they have proven the Russians did this and they did that. And especially, it doesn't matter whether it's people on the left or people on the right saying this. They just keep saying that Mueller has meticulously provided evidence that proves. And I will admit that some of what I have heard convinces me, but let me ask you this, and don't Google this. Just ask yourself, do you know what the word indictment means? What is an indictment? Don't Google it. Tell me what the word indictment means. Just shout it out. Well, here is what an indictment is. An indictment is nothing more and nothing less than a formal charge of a serious crime. And what do the 5th and 14th Amendments to the United States Constitution guarantee? Do you know? Basically, it is that no one will be deprived of life, liberty, or property without the due process of the law. What is the due process of law? Due process is the legal requirement that the state must respect all legal rights that are owed to a person. The 6th Amendment states, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have been previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and the cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. It doesn't say the accused will be convicted in the court of the media. It doesn't say the accused has to defend his innocence. What is the widely accepted idea that is really the cornerstone of our justice system, which is presumption of innocence? It basically emphasizes that the prosecution has the obligation to prove each element of the offense beyond a reasonable doubt or some other level of proof depending on the criminal justice system in said country, and that the accused bears no burden of proof. This is often expressed in the phrase innocent until proven guilty, coined, oddly enough, by English lawyer Sir William Garrow back in the probably 1780s, 1790s maybe, early 1800s, Garrow insisted that accusers be robustly tested in court. An objective observer in the position of the juror must reasonably conclude that the defendant must almost certainly have committed the crime after they have heard the evidence. Now, I went through all that to make the point that an indictment, no matter how meticulously investigated, is simply basically a schedule or list of what the prosecution intends to prove in court, because the state has to prove the defendant's guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, not the other way around. So when somebody says, we've indicted all these Russian spies because they did it, they are simply asserting that they intend to prove that these 12 Russian spies did this. It doesn't say that they have proven it. It just says that a judge or a grand jury somewhere has seen that there's enough evidence that a trial can actually occur. So it will be some time before we know beyond a reasonable doubt that the Russians interfered in the U.S. election, no matter how loudly people say they did, and whether you and I think they did or not. Or think it is the deep state or some other fairy tale that we are being fed. It doesn't matter what we think. What matters is what the judge and jury and the actual evidence presented at trial results in, which is called a verdict. And when the verdict actually comes down and says that the Russians interfered and this is what we find from the evidence beyond a reasonable doubt, well, okay, fine. Finally, I have to say I don't know what's going to happen. I cannot predict the future. I am not a tarot card reader. I am not a psychic. I am sick to death of these people that are going to tell us what is going to happen and how it's going to happen and what this is going to lead to and what that's going to lead to. I have personally said more than once that I have a prediction, and I've had the prediction for a while, that I think Trump's style or his approach or whatever you want to call it to being president is going to work fabulously, to use his word, until it stops working. And when it stops working, more than likely it will fail in a singularly spectacular way, unfortunately, with dire consequences for all of us. This thing that happened in Russia is not that. Okay, my understanding is Trump was given any number of briefings, 100 pages of notes to read before the Putin meeting about what he could say, what he should say, precedents and everything else. He didn't pay attention to any of it. He didn't read any of it. He doesn't pay any attention to anything anybody says that he doesn't agree with or whatever, because all he does apparently is listen to himself. Now, there have been previous examples of this. One of them is Jack Kennedy, his first summit with Khrushchev in 1960, I believe. He did not prepare for it. Famously said, I don't need to prepare for this. I've been doing this all my life, blah, 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 blah. And this, of course, was when he had a cabinet of academics and he had, you know, all kinds of people that were very qualified for the positions that they were in, George Kennan and so forth. And they all urged him to prepare. He didn't. And he went to Russia. And Khrushchev took his friendliness, which Kennedy gambled on, as a sign of weakness. And then that was the beginning of the Cuban Missile Crisis, which very nearly erupted into a nuclear war. We were very close to a nuke. In fact, I think we were at DEFCON 1 or whatever it is. The worst thing you can be at is DEFCON 1, which is basically nuclear war. We were at 2 and headed towards 1 at one point and all that. So that's what the whole Missiles of October thing is about. So his problem, his crisis that he did handle, well, the crisis was self-inflicted because he didn't prepare for that meeting. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen with Trump. Couldn't tell you. Maybe it doesn't matter these days. My experience observing this president is that he destroys everyone who works closely with him sooner or later. And so far, with the exception kind of his family members. But if I were them, I wouldn't hold my breath. He just has a way of just blowing people out and destroying them after he uses them up. And I've often said that he will probably end up tearing the fabric of the Republican Party to pieces. And it probably will never be the same after Trump, whether he wins a second term or not, or has to resign or whatever. In some ways, I actually take a great deal of perverse pleasure in watching the Republican Party, you know, just turn somersaults and twist itself into a pretzel trying to defend Trump, whether it's congressional candidates or, you know, sitting senators or people who are, you know, spokespersons for the party and so forth. because I think the Republican Party has been dead for years, and I think it's been without principle since at least 2012 and maybe before that. But the same is true with the Democratic Party as well. Neither of these parties is serving what the American people need for the future. And, you know, the American people aren't going to say this is what we need because they don't study this stuff. This is going to take really talented people, really intelligent people, really committed people to figure this out on both ends of whatever political spectrum we're working under. We need a new political structure, meaning basically parties in this country, and we are not going to get them without some sort of crisis. So there will be a crisis because the government is not working. You know, $20 trillion in debt, you know, economic growth questionable. They just raise interest rates again. Their biggest concern at this point is inflation, and yet the first quarter GDP was 2%. So, you know, all this talk about a booming economy and everything else based on ADP numbers and unemployment numbers, there are still 77 some million people on the sidelines when it comes to employment. So we can talk about, we can talk it up, we can jaw up the economy like crazy, but we have to see the results. And so this is what I do now. I say, okay, this happened, that happened. What are the results? Yes, this terrible thing happened. What's the result going to be? Where are we at with this? Where are we at with that? We've done the tariffs. And of course, everybody, as I said in a previous podcast, they rush out to write these articles about it. There's negative effects already in the economy. Well, there might be and there might not be. So let's just wait and see where things settle before we say unequivocally, this has happened and it's wrong and he did it. Yeah, there are going to be a lot of things that we can say that he is responsible for the longer he's in office. But, you know, predicting what's going to happen with no information at this point is a disservice to the American people. And I don't know whether we're going to get the talented politicians who are going to be able to fix this thing. But if people are going to support and love political leaders because they smile nice or look cool or are a certain color or say cool stuff, and not think about whether somebody is a trade protectionist. So all the farmers thought Trump was great. You know, I drove all over this country in 2016, and in every rural area were, you know, diesel pickup trucks with Trump on the back of the, in big letters on the back or signs in the fields. You know, they didn't even calculate that it was no secret that he was a trade protectionist. He's been a trade protectionist most of his career. But all the farmers thought that was a great idea until we got retaliation for the trade tariffs he placed on China and Canada and our European partners, and now our farmers are in trouble. So suddenly, you know, they don't understand what's happening. So if you don't do your homework and you get someone that you think is funny and you support them because you think they're funny, then you are responsible for what happens here. And if the American people are destroyed, if the American system is destroyed, if our freedoms are eroded and broken down because we can't figure out what's important and we can't communicate that to our parties, or the parties and the political structures and the politicians don't listen, then whose fault is it? We're going to have to wait and see what happens. And unless what he does works, which is entirely possible, by the way, maybe it is time to upset some of these apple carts. Maybe that's what he's doing. And I'm willing to wait, because sometimes people you disagree with vehemently are correct. And that is true on both ends of the spectrum. So I would urge people, don't take sides. Take it all in and think about what people are saying and whether you think it rings true. And, you know, given the amount of media and given the velocity of media today and the volume of media today, and I guess I'm the only one saying this. Somebody sent me an email and said, you know, I can't believe that you're not more popular after that podcast on immigration. Nobody has done what you did. Put down basically a list of all of the immigration legislation and talk about it in an objective manner. Well, I've been doing this for, you know, 4 years and, you know, really 5 years. And I don't know whether people are going to notice or not, but I think people, given the velocity of media, given the volume of media, you got to get away from it. Get out in the field and process this stuff. If somebody says something to you that makes you mad, maybe you should think about it. Doesn't mean that they're right, but it means that if it produced an emotional reaction in you, then you might want to get away from everything and get away from the yelling and the screaming and turn off the television for a few hours and think about it. Because we're, you know, rapidly heading toward what I think is some kind of a crisis. And it's not going to be easy because we're in such a situation where there's so much partisanship. I don't know if people are going to be able to pull together, but I think this is where this is going to lead. But I'm willing to say that maybe it won't, but I'm simply not going to defend everything this guy does. He is free to fall on his face anytime he wants. He is big enough and powerful enough, he can get up and defend himself. And shame on these people who rush out to defend everything he does. And defend his policy, which he cannot even articulate himself. It is a disservice to the American people. That's my strong opinion about all this. I am so sick of hearing these people tell me what I'm supposed to think. Notice I did not tell you that. All I said was take the time to take in as much information as possible. I'm doing the best I can to give you, as much real facts and information that I can assemble, given the limited ability that I have to know what's going on behind closed doors. But none of these guys on television know what's going on behind closed doors either. Nobody's going to tell Anderson Cooper what's really going on, really? Nobody's going to tell, Jake Tapper what's going on, and he's one of the good ones. You know, they're gonna manipulate those guys, and they're gonna manipulate you and me. And the only way that we have to deal with that is to get away from it and think about it and let it process. And it's going to take time, given the amount of crap that is being pumped into our heads. Okay, you can probably tell from listening to my voice, I'm really tired. So I am going to. I don't know why I'm tired either. We got a big eclipse coming up on the 27th, and I think as we head towards that full moon. The energy is really heavy and I am really tired. So I'm going to finish up this podcast and appreciate you checking out podcast 739, the Bob Davis Podcasts. Okay. Thanks for listening. Once again, don't forget Ryan Plumbing and Heating of St. Paul for home or business. If you got problems with the AC, if you got problems with plumbing left over from the winter, if you're getting ready to have a big party and you haven't checked the plumbing and you know how it goes, Murphy's Law, right? Call Ryan Plumbing and Heating in St. Paul, 651-224-4771. In Minneapolis, 612-927-6488. Four generations of experience metro-wide. So if you live in Invergrove, if you live in South St. Paul, if you live in Plymouth or Maple Grove or St. Louis Park or Edina or Bloomington, they are metro-wide at ryanplumbing.com. All right, thanks for listening to podcast 739, the Bob Davis Podcast. Had to do it. Just had to clear the air, so thanks for listening. I went home with a waitress the way I always do. I don't know. She was with the Russians too. I was gambling in Havana. I took a little risk. Send lawyers, guns, and money. Dad, get me out of this.